Welcome back. I'm Mark Gunnery, senior producer for The Mark Steiner Show. And like we do every week, we take a look at the current issue of the City Paper. And this week, it's the Altered States issue. And I'm here with Travis Kitchens. He's writer for the City Paper, videographer, music producer, and he wrote the cover story for this week's City Paper, which is called Escape from Planet Earth, Psychedelics, Religion, and Outlaw Scientist John C. Lilly. And Travis, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
So who is John C. Lilly, and why did you want to write about him?
John C. Lilly was a physician, biologist, and inventor. He's probably most well known for inventing the sensory deprivation tank or the isolation tank, which is becoming popular again. He's also well known for his dolphin research in the Virgin Islands and Miami. He wrote a book called Mind and Dolphin that was about his attempts at interspecies communication. I wrote an article about Lilly because I have an interest in psychedelics, and he was a pioneering psychedelic researcher who worked at the National Institutes of Health in the 40s. He worked at Maryland Psychiatric Research Center at Spring Grove Hospital in 1968, 1969. And Maryland has a long history of psychedelic research, government-supported psychedelic research from the 50s into 1977. And then in 2009 at Johns Hopkins Bayview, Roland Griffiths and Bill Richards reinitiated psychedelic research after it was basically outlawed by the Controlled Substances Act.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about his early psychedelic research. It was with LSD?
Yeah, it was with LSD. He was working at the National Institutes of Health and doing brain research. They were researching the brains of monkeys and other animals. And the government was interested in devising techniques of brainwashing. This was the post-Korean War. And so there was a building that the Navy used, and they had a prototype of the sensory isolation tank, and he shaped it into what we know it is now. But his psychedelic research he left the National Institutes of Health in 1958. He moved to the Virgin Islands to pursue his interspecies communication research, and it was there in the Virgin Islands that he first started experimenting with LSD. At NIH, other researchers were using it, and they were encouraging him to take LSD in the isolation tank, but he didn't want to do it because he didn't want to contaminate the research. So when he got to the Virgin Islands, was the first time he took LSD in the isolation tank.
And what happened when he did that?
Well, what he said before LSD in the isolation tank, he could control what was happening. He was experiencing mystical states and altered states of consciousness, but he could basically control it. He described the experience of LSD in the isolation tank. He described LSD as rocket fuel. He couldn't control it anymore. He said it blasted him to more universes and different galaxies, and it was the most his physical body could handle. He had felt like he was going insane, basically.
Mm-hmm. And then did he come back to Maryland from there?
Yeah, he did. Basically, what happened is he wrote a book called Programming and Metaprogramming in the Human Biocomputer. One copy leaked in the Whole Earth catalog. Popular Counterculture magazine at the time reviewed it. They got a hold of this mimeographed copy. And after he reviewed it, it was in demand. And so Lilly himself mimeographed 300 copies, and it got out and got distributed. Well, it became a counterculture classic. It's basically a book on how to jailbreak your mind using LSD in the isolation tank. And when his scientific colleagues, the more straight colleagues, found out about it, they thought that he had brain damage from taking LSD. Mm-hmm. They took his research. They took his government grants for researching dolphins, so he ended up closing the dolphin facilities. And when he did, psychedelic research was winding down, and the Maryland Psychiatric Research Center at Spring Grove Hospital in Catonsville was the last place studying it. So he said, okay, I'll go there. And he had ex-colleagues from NIH there, so it was easy for him to get a position there.
What about the research that's happening now on Hopkins Bayview?
As I say in the article, the sort of the enigma of John Lilly lies in the fact that his psychedelic research, you have a very straight scientist who went to the best schools. He went to Dartmouth. He went to Caltech. His father was a very wealthy banker and philanthropist, which gave him the freedom to study whatever he wanted to. That's why he could sort of do this kind of research that normally you wouldn't be able to get government grants to do. But when he did his psychedelic research, he started sounding a lot more like a mystic, and that was frowned upon because the scientist's reaction to the psychedelic experience are sound a lot more like a mystic or a religious person because these substances are completely unexplainable. They're very powerful experiences that are completely unexplainable. That first study in 2009 at Hopkins, two-thirds of the participants said that it was one of the top five most meaningful experiences in their lives, on par with the birth of a parent or the birth of a child. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people will be surprised to learn that mystical experiences and religious experiences are happening at Bayview Hospital and not mm-hmm. at a church.
I mean, it's interesting. You wrote that Lilly came to believe that religion was an area for experimental science. What did that mean to him?
What he meant by religion is an area for experimental science is that the mystical experiences that are at the foundation of religions, like St. Paul of the Cross and these mystical experiences you learn about from long ago that we don't really know how they happened. Was it spontaneous or was it through the use of psychedelic substances? When he started as a scientist started experimenting with psychedelics, he was having these experiences that you couldn't find any record of them in science. The only place you could find record of these experiences were in religion. Mm-hmm. That's a very weird position to be in as a scientist. Mm-hmm. So he came to believe that if psychedelics are the most dependable trigger for mystical experiences, then we need to study this as science. These experiences are repeatable in very conservative, strict scientific conditions. They happen over and over and over again, such as the Hopkins study. Two-thirds of the participants are having these very, very strong, life-altering mystical experiences. He thought, oh, well, psychedelics must be religion. This must be what it is because mm-hmm. it gives a whole lot more meaning to religion, which can – to a lot of people, including myself and including to Lilly, it didn't really make much sense until he did psychedelics. So all of these analogies like being born again, like Jacob's ladder, these were those are very psychedelic experiences. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What else is in this week's issue of the City Paper?
There's an interview with the organizers of Fields Festival. They're having the Sun Ra Orchestra, Future Islands, Dan Deacon, Lower Dens, Wolf Eyes, TT the Artist, a whole bunch more, and that's up in Darlington in Harford County mm-hmm. this weekend. Mm-hmm. So there's a Q&A with the organizers of Fields Festival. There's also an article called Mind Watching by Kate Drabinsky, which she sort of goes through the spiritual supermarket profiling meditation, acupuncture, salt therapy, and she talks in particular about the sensory deprivation tank, which here in Baltimore we have our own sensory deprivation tank run by Twig Harper, Be Free, Floating. And since Lilly invented the isolation tank, the two articles sort of tie together in that way.
Great. That's the Altered States issue of the City Paper. I'm here with Travis Kitchens, writer for the City Paper, videographer, music producer, and he wrote the cover story for this week's City Paper called Escape from Planet Earth, Psychedelics, Religion, and Outlaw Scientist John C. Lilly. And Travis, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Mark Gunnery. Our producer is Amani Spence. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our interns are Morgan Barber and Calvin Perry. Our theme music is by Juan Matthews of Clean Cuts. And send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. To podcast The Mark Steiner Show and share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.